I've been praying, and early in the week I was talking to the Lord. I talked to him just like I would talk to anyone else, and I said, Lord, you know, I see the success in the people at the church, and I said, but I'm sensing that you want even more success, that you want to bless them, that they want to, that you want them to be more successful. And I said, you know, Lord, I know what your word says, that your word says, let every man take heed how he builds upon that foundation that was laid in Jesus Christ. And I said, Lord, I can give messages on peace. I can give all different kinds of messages. And I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, what is the one thing? What is the one thing that will bring your people up to a higher level of success? And I was a little bit, I'll admit, I was a little bit frustrated because that's what I sensed the Lord wanted me to do. And I said, Lord, this is going to involve just so many different things. And what am I going to do? I said, we're at a crossroads. And I keep sensing, Lord, that you're wanting to use your people and wanting to work with your people more and more, and your power to just flow through your people. And the Lord spoke to me. He spoke to me one very simple thing, and I thought it was going to be just a whole series of things to build upon. But he spoke one simple thing into my spirit, and this is what I heard. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I was like, that's it. Lord, that's it. That's what you want your people to know. You want them to learn how to hear your voice and how to be sensitive to your spirit. And you want them to follow you. And it's part of being in that army that God is raising up, I believe, in these end times. Because it's crucial that we know and we understand and we hear the Lord's voice. And we're able to follow the Holy Spirit no matter what. Yesterday morning I got up early and I was ambitious and I was going to do a lot of things. And so I got up, I prayed, and I was talking to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I'd really like to get the yard straightened up because I've let it go since spring, summer, and I've really just neglected it. And so I went over to Lowe's because I had to go return a few things, and I thought, well, I'm going to get me some fertilizer because the yard really needs some fertilizer. And I looked at the fertilizer, and I wanted either triple 12 or 10-10-10 fertilizer. And I looked and I thought, I don't want to pay $40 to fertilize my yard. It's not that I didn't have the money. And I just, fertilizer now has just skyrocketed because the price of crude has gone up and fertilizer prices have gone up. But I was like, you know, I really want our yard to look nice. I want the grass to really look good. I want to get the weeds out of it and everything. So I left Lowe's. And I turned right over here going down South Emerson. I was in the far lane and I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say, go to Walmart. And I said, I don't like going there. And I said, Lord, I don't like going there. And then I heard it again, go. So I took my truck and of course I looked in the rearview mirror. I looked to see if there was any cars coming. So I swung all the way over to get in the right-hand lane. And I turned in there. So I'm kind of dragging my feet as I'm walking through there, and I go back to the lawn and garden, and what do I see? I see a bin, and it's on clearance. It had triple 10 fertilizer for $4.50 a bag. So instead of spending $40 to do my yard, there was only $9 that I put out for it. And as I was thinking on that this morning, it was the voice of the Holy Spirit that led me. I distinctly, and that's just one small instance, that if we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, He will guide us and direct us, right? He will guide us and direct us. And then I said, this morning as I was watching the girls do Operation Christmas Child, and Kathy and I were talking about Operation Christmas Child yesterday, and I was telling Kathy about the fertilizer. And I said, Kathy, I said, do you realize now I saved $16 and I can put that into Operation Christmas Child because each one of those boxes is like $7 to, I believe, ship out. And I said, you know, we can put in quite a bit, but I said, there's just that much extra that we can do for the kingdom because the Holy Ghost empowered me. When I heard his voice, he empowered me. When I listened to the Holy Spirit, he empowered me to do more for the kingdom. Right? And it's that voice of the Holy Ghost that empowers us to do more for God. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Well, being in that outer lane, it was a little bit hard to follow because I said, I got to go all the way across this traffic and get into that right lane. But I know the voice of my master, and he won't lead me in a place that'll cause me to get in trouble, or he always leads me in the paths of peace. It's where he leads me. But it's being sensitive to that voice. And as I thought about this and as I meditated upon this all this week, I've been working on this little study that I taught before about Jesus being the high priest of our confession. And I was thinking about the importance of our confession, and I'm asking the Lord, I'm saying, Lord, and this was a result actually of men's Bible study. And I'm thinking about this, it takes faith to hear the Holy Ghost. It takes faith to listen to the voice of the Spirit. It takes faith to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I said, Lord, you want our faith, because you've been dealing with us about faith for months and months and months. But it takes faith to listen to you. It takes faith to go in there and look to see what you told me would be there. Right? I couldn't see it, but I heard it. Go there. Go there. I couldn't see it with my eyes. I didn't walk by my senses. But you know what I had? I didn't have sense knowledge. I had revelation knowledge. I had revelation knowledge because I've been praying. And I hope you all have been praying these prayers in Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, and Colossians 1. And I'm becoming more and more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And this is something that I'm just not telling you all this, but I need it also. I need to become more sensitive to the Holy Ghost. So then as I meditated, I said, Lord, okay, let's take this. You're going to show me how to teach on being sensitive to your voice. And then I looked back through my notes here about a month ago when we went down to Texas. And then I looked in there, I was flipping through my notes, and what did I find? They said the greatest thing that you can do in these end times is teach the people how to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We want to desperately hear your voice. We want to hear your voice. So I started going on, and then you know, if we follow God's plan for success, we shouldn't be making any mistakes, right? There shouldn't be any mistakes if we follow God's plan for success. We can pray, but if we don't do what God's word says, then we'll be no better off than where we started, right? There comes a point where we got to actually do what God says to do. Right? So then I found these three witnesses that I started to meditate on that proved in God's word that he wants us to be successful. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What does this have to do with hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit? This has a lot to do with that. one of the things, if you want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to take God's word and you're going to have to meditate on it. And you're going to have to, what does it say? It won't depart out of your what? Mouth. So there has to be, this verse is telling us two things that we have to do in order to be successful. That word, God's word, has to be spoken with my mouth, right? And it has to be, what else? I have to do what it says, right? I have to meditate on it. And that word meditate means to confess, to think about, to dream about, to talk about. In the actual Hebrew, it says to mutter, to speak. And then here's the second witness. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. There it is again. And he shall be like what? Like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. So there's the second thing, and this is talking about speaking the word day and night. This is talking about thinking about the word day and night. And I've told you before, I've asked the Lord, and he'll tell you, and he'll show you this too. I'm convinced of it. Lord, I'm asleep at night, but you know what? You can dream about it. And I've had dreams where Jesus actually come to me and teach me his word. I'm going to tell you something. If this does not become a part of you and the priority in your life, if your focus is not on God and God's word, or if your focus is on something else and your expectation is off on someone else or something else, you're not going to have the success that God wants you to have. Okay? Here's the third witness, and this is my favorite. You've heard me talk about this over and over. In John 15:7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. There's the third witness. It involves, every one of those involves what? The word of God. It involves speaking the word and doing the word. Right? That's what it involves. So, it takes faith. It takes faith if you're going to go to the next level of success. And you know, the Bible tells us that our faith actually grows. And we can work with God and our faith will actually grow. The Bible tells us that our faith grows. So, how can we go to that next level of success? And this is what we heard in our men's Bible study. This one verse here, we were listening to a speaker, and this is what really caught my attention, is in Philemon 1:6, that the communication of your faith may become effectual. It means powerful. It means to be active. Okay? By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So, Mr. Mark gave us a whole list of things that we could acknowledge. But you know what? It takes our mouth to acknowledge those things. It takes our mouth to acknowledge them. Then I started looking, and I got to thinking about times past, just like what Matt talked about in prayer this morning. I started looking in times past, and he said that faith had a voice. And faith does have a voice. Doubt has a voice. So I started looking, and why our confession is so important. Because, you know, we have a high priest. And that high priest is acting on our behalf. And that's what really excites me about it, because Jesus is the high priest. He's the high priest of the sanctuary, and this is what, you know, the Bible talks about in so many different places about our confession. But I'm going to tell you what, to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, the words of God's word has to come out of our mouth. We have to stand in agreement with His word. And we have to do His word in order to see it come alive and active in us. And I've taught on this before, but I just really sense, Holy Ghost, you want me to go over this again, and you want me to take this, because we're going to another level of success, because I believe there is a sound that God is releasing from the throne room, and we'll only be sensitive to that sound unless we get sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So we have a high priest. And I'm thanking God even through communion, Lord, you are my high priest. Jesus, you're my high priest, and thank you for being a high priest for me. And then it talks about this three times in the book of Hebrews. Three times it says, our confession in relation to Jesus as our high priest is mentioned three times. I'm looking at this. He mentioned it three times, so this is important. Even if he mentions it to me one time, it's important, but he mentions it three times. And here's the three scriptural references where he mentions it three times as Jesus being the high priest of our confession. Hebrews 3:1, Hebrews 4:14, and Hebrews 10:21 through 23. It says, in Hebrews 3:1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. If you look up that word profession, it means to say the same thing as. He's the high priest of what I say, and he can only act on my behalf if I say the right thing according to his word. If I say the wrong thing, Jesus Christ can't function as high priest. Is this something new y'all never heard before? Jesus is our high priest. Come on. He's our high priest. Hallelujah. Jesus is waiting in heaven in the sanctuary, waiting for us to say the right thing and to agree with his word. He's waiting. Well, I wrote up some notes, and I'm going to pass these out to you later. So I'm going to read you some of the things I wrote in here. If we are to make our faith effective, active, powerful, and enjoy the full benefits of salvation, we must learn to do what it says in Philemon 1:6, that we're to that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Listen, your faith will become effective. It'll become powerful, and it'll cause you to believe God wants me to be successful. You can take those three scripture verses and understand he wants me to succeed. He doesn't want me just to sit around and do nothing, but he wants me to succeed. Acknowledgement involves a confession. Okay? Now, it's our tongue here that connects us to the ministry of Jesus as high priest. It's our tongue. My tongue connects me. Now, when he rose again, he entered into this ministry as our high priest, representing us in the presence of his Father when he rose into heaven. Now, again, he's our high priest on the condition that we make the right confession with our tongue. Now, his ministry as high priest, listen to this carefully. His ministry as high priest operates on our spoken confession, not our unspoken faith. Did you catch that? His ministry as high priest operates on our spoken confession, not our unspoken faith. It is important that we maintain a right confession with our mouth. We agree with God's word in faith with our mouth. It enables Jesus to exercise his ministry as high priest on our behalf. His priesthood cannot operate on our behalf if there is no confession that agrees with his word. Think about that. His ministry as high priest cannot operate on our behalf if our words don't agree with his word. And then the Bible talks about in Matthew 12:36 about idle words. It talks about idle words in Matthew 12:36 and 37. It says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." So what are idle words? And I've told you this before years ago, that the Lord showed me what idle words were. I don't know what I'm going to do. That's an idle word. Now, if I had spoken yesterday, I took my mouth, and if I had spoken, I don't know what I'm going to do or where I'm going to find this. Idle words. Idle words. I don't know where I'm going to find a job at. Idle words. The Bible says that God shall supply all my need. Right? For everything. Not some things, but for everything. My need for healing. My need for a job. My need for everything. The word idle means worthless. Speaking words that are not in agreement with God's word. Those are idle words, to sum it up. Now, he mentions it two more times in Hebrews. In Hebrews 4:14, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast." How are we to hold fast our confession? It says we are to hold fast our confession. We're not to let it go. And we're not to neglect this. And then it goes on to say in Hebrews 10:21, "And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." He's faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. People say, "Well, I wonder why God didn't do this or that." It's not on his part. When something's not right, you know who I'm looking at here? Right here, I'm looking in the mirror myself. Lord, what am I missing? What am I missing? Because I know what your word says. Now, faith is not exercised with idle words. Faith is exercised when we agree with God's word. When we agree with God's word, that's faith. Now, we know that right confession is also essential for salvation. There's a direct link with our heart and mouth. Salvation depends on two things: exercising faith in our hearts and making the right confession. Romans 10:9-10 says that if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that the God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So there's a direct link there between our heart and mouth. And then we know that the word salvation means what? Not just an escape from hell, but it means complete and wholeness. It means complete and wholeness. It means complete and wholeness. Okay. Now, let's look at the illustration. I don't think I put it on here. No, I didn't. But let's look at the illustration in James 3 and 4. It says, "Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." Now, listen to this very carefully. What the rudder is to the ship, the use of the tongue will determine which direction you go. Examine your path. Are you experiencing good things or bad things? Use God's word to determine you if you are living the life Jesus promised in John 10:10. Remember that message Miss Dorothy preached last Sunday? She said, "Lord, we need to see what the life, that abundant life in Jesus really looks like." And I've been thinking about that. But I'll tell you what, you can get a pretty good picture of examining where you're at right now and looking in the mirror and saying, "You know what, Lord? If there's things in here that is not working right, then I'll bet you better start looking at what's coming out of your mouth or hearing what's coming out of your mouth." Now, here's a little simple prayer I want to give you that I used years ago that the Lord helped me, because I had this nasty, critical, complaining spirit, and I knew it wasn't good. It's in Psalm 19:14. I would pray this every morning before I go to work. And my job was one of the biggest causes that caused me to complain. And here's the prayer I prayed. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I started saying that over and praying that over and over. And I said, Lord, I can't control my tongue, but you can. And when I get ready to start to say something that was critical or start to complain, I would hear that verse come up in my spirit man. And I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in my sight. And I would hear. I would know that that was what I was getting ready to say was not acceptable to God. And Jesus could not operate on my behalf as high priest. I really believe this. If you will study this,